and say, how dare you know a word like that? Starts with P, ends with Y. Another one, it's a four-letter, starts with a C, it ends with a T. And there's an L in there. Just, you know, it ain't the one that you were thinking, it's the other one with the L. So he knows these. I said, can I just make this point before we begin this roundtable discussion? 13, boy, he's going to know these words. Well, okay, everybody agreed, and fortunately his dad agreed with me. He said, well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because we're the two guys in the room. Now, the idea here is that you're not supposed to be passing a note like this. First of all, you don't pass notes in class because you're there to learn. Second of all, when you pass it to a buddy of yours, you've gotten him involved in this subterfuge. And thirdly, what you had written in there, while it's not bad that you know the words, there's women in the class, there's girls in the class, and you have female teachers, they're going to see this stuff. I got this thing, and I always hit the guys over the head with this, and maybe it's old-fashioned, I don't know, I don't think so, but I said, man, I don't care how many fart jokes you guys want to tell, I don't care if you want to talk about having diarrhea or whatever else, let's not do it at the dinner table for starters. That would be really nice, because I need to keep my dinner down. And secondly, there's some stuff you don't talk about in front of your mom and your sister. So we hope, you know, maybe we've drilled that lesson into their heads. So I said the same thing. I said, these are words you don't really want to be repeating around women, in mixed company, your teachers, your school, stuff like that. And he came back with, but it wasn't that bad, and it was funny, and I didn't mean to hurt anybody, and he didn't get the whole idea of the inappropriateness of passing this note in a class. So I said to the principal and to Maria and to the dad, I said to all of them, I'm going to leave the room, because maybe if the evil stepdad leaves, some things will get said, some feelings will loosen up, some emotions might come unjarred, and maybe some stuff might get said here that maybe he feels intimidated to talk about with me in the room. Because after all, I'm only 3 years in the family. So I walked outside, I walked around, everything else, and, you know, talked with a few of the parents who were hanging around. They're in the room there. Principal comes out, so I walked back in, I sat down, and, you know, we sort of concluded everything, but I found out later something that I've really made me smile. I said to Maria, I said, so how'd it go when I was out of the room? I mean, was he able to talk about any of this stuff? We're talking about the oldest guy. She said, well, nothing really changed. Your leaving the room didn't really change the dynamic. In fact, as soon as you left, the principal looked at him and said, does that help? And he said, there's nothing that I can't say in front of Phil. So the evil stepdad has moved up a notch. Or maybe I was always up the notch. Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 with Sorrentino in here on Tuesday nights. The bumper music just gets worse, as evidenced with freaking White Zombie. Get out of here. No, that was fine, Tony. Thanks. Nice to have you with us. Would you leave that stuff at home, please? Would you leave the Ozfest CDs at home? White Zombie. No, that's pretty good. 1-800-449-8686. So, has anybody ever heard of what I really wanted to discuss in our first segment together here this evening? And just a reminder, this evening we're going to have Margaret Gray on, a nationally syndicated columnist, to talk about the trials and tribulations of Pamela Anderson, who apparently left a film shoot of some kind in South America because she was being hassled by young male fans down there. We're also going to discuss with a former stock car driver by the name of Austin Amarca the racing circuit and what's going on with NASCAR and why it just ain't the way it used to be, the old-time days of racing as opposed to the new moneyed drivers and the big commercial sponsorships. So that's coming up later on in our program. I was talking here earlier with one of the guys that works on the show. I can't remember his name. Blonde-haired guy with a beard. Hasn't shaved in about 6 days. Oh, yeah, Schaefer. Hey, by the way, did you see the thing, Schaefer? You gave that to me, and I thought it was very interesting that women shave 6,336 times in their lives. between the ages of, it says about 75% of women aged 16 to 55 say they slack off on shaving during the wintertime. If a woman started shaving her legs at age 12, in her lifetime, she will have spent 22 full days shaving. 6,336 times shaving, that's 32,000 minutes, 533 hours, 22 days shaving. Now, was that an ad sponsored by Lady Schick or Lady Bic or one of the Lady Shave, the Remington, the Lady Remington commercials? One of those companies, I believe, sponsored this investigation into how many times women shave. And as I was looking at this, I realized they shave more than guys do. They're shaving more than Schaefer, and damn sure I know they're shaving more than me. Now, forget about the goatees, the very stylish goatees that both you and Sorrentino have grown over the last few years and that you guys alternately cut off whenever you feel bored with it. Forget about the George Michael look where you're looking like you just came out of a garbage can. You know, that 3-day growth where it's dark, it's moody, it smells. I'm talking about the rest of your face that you're going to shave. How often do you shave? I'll tell you, I shaved today, and the last time I had shaved was on Saturday night because we thought we were going out. As it turned out, my wife was incapacitated. Beriberi, bubonic plague, we got it all running through our house. Every disease known to man, it's hitting us pretty good. But, you know, vitamin C. I understand that tetanus is running through. Well, we take our vitamin C. So I shave about once every 3 days. I shave as often and maybe less often than most women. Now, there was a time I guess guys shaved all the time. I guess grubbiness, I don't know if it's grubby or not, but having that little 3-4 day growth of beard, especially now with me, it's coming in salt and pepper. Now I get the gray crap coming in. Now it's starting to come in salt and pepper. When you got a salt and pepper beard, you don't look stylish. You look like a bum sitting on a curb. See, seriously, so the older you get, the more you let it grow. Now you're not looking too cool. It's no Don Johnson number going on there. Ain't no George Michael number going on there. There's nothing very dark and moody with a little leather, maybe in a fine Chianti. You're looking pretty swift. No, now you just look like, you look like John Huston. I hope you don't mind. I believe they should be served with the head. And you've got that gray thing, and you look like that bum in The Exorcist who says, "Can you spare some change for a former altar boy, Father?" Richard Mazur in a circa 70s movie. So I can't do that. So I got to shave as much as I can. And we work at night. We don't have to watch how we dress around here. We don't have to watch how we look around here generally. We don't even have to bathe. And I can tell you from personal experience, most of the time, that's the fact around here. A lot of guys are walking in here 3-4 days without a bath. That's okay. It could bother me. But, you know, occasionally you want to clean it up because if you're going out, especially your wife is going to, you know, who bugs you to shave? Gretchen bugs you, right? My wife bugs me. She says, you know what? You might want to start trimming that off. I know it's been a few days. I don't bug you. You got to admit, as a wife, I'm pretty cool. I let you kind of do your thing. You're wearing a shirt that's about 6 days old. The underwear, I can't even begin to guess the last time you washed that. But do you mind? Because it's starting, the smell is infiltrating the rest of the house. Oh, okay, honey, I'm sorry. But women are shaving every 3 days, which puts it probably more 3 to 4 days you're shaving me. Women are shaving more often than guys. And they're shaving more of themselves now than ever before. It's just getting worse. It's getting more of a hassle. Now, there was a time when not shaving the armpits was a hep thing for a lot of women. They thought it was very European. They thought that the razor was a statement against their natural femininity. That is, if men can grow their armpit hair, why the hell can't we? And as a matter of fact, there were a lot of women who were doing that whole leg hair thing. They were letting the hair on their legs grow. How do I know? Because when I was a single man, I dated a couple of women that grew the hair on their legs. And, you know, you gritted your teeth and you tried to get with it. You wanted to be a guy who was certainly not a member of the chauvinist class of men who wanted their women pristine and using all the feminine hygiene products and smelling just like a day in spring. You wanted to get with it a little bit here. Okay, do what you need to do. I mean, it lasts about a week, man. Will you shave the legs? You know, I've never felt so free around a man. You're so... Just shave them! I'll shave them! Legs, armpits, shave them. It's just, it can't be. Now, we've gone the other direction here with a year left, actually 3 months left in the millennium. They're shaving more of their bodies than ever before. Electrolysis, Nair, waxing, a whole industry around the removal of women's hair in every single solitary spot that you can imagine, except on the tops of their heads, and maybe sometimes that too. Because that whole thing with the armpit and the leg, that didn't, who's going to, nobody wants that. I don't even think the least of all the women wanted that. Now, the only women, I think, and I say this respectfully, that would continue to grow their leg hair are most probably women who are lesbian, homosexual, in other words, this is not a statement having to do with attracting men. This is an unnatural thing, which is probably, this probably is fine with other women who are gay or likewise minded or likewise oriented. But the rest of that social setting, heterosexual, that is, nobody going to go with that. That leg hair stuff. They don't want leg hair, they don't want armpit hair, and now they're shaving everything. And my wife says to me today, as I come home from a hard day of, pre-preparation and whatever it was, taking the kids to school and doing some shopping, she said to me in a very seductive manner, it takes on a whole new meaning. Now, right or am I wrong about this, Mike? And Tony, you can probably, when a woman says to you, I shaved this morning, now the meaning is completely different. It's she never would walk up to you and say, and by the way, I shaved today. Well, that's great. Your legs are looking. No, this is a whole new meaning. I shaved extra close in anticipation of getting smacked by you. How you doing, baby? Great. I shaved this morning. Oh, you shaved this morning. You did? Well, how about that? And don't go 3 days without doing that, okay? It's used to be the other way around, you know? It tickles. It doesn't tickle. Remember they used to complain about the sandpaper? Well, now there's a little give and take on that sandpaper thing, too. So as long as you've gone down that road, you're going to have to, like, stay on it daily, I think. Because if you think it feels like sandpaper to you, you ought to be me when I do that. With you. So my wife said to me, I shaved this morning. Well, how about them apples? Well, I guess we don't have to pick the kids up for another 30 minutes. Am I saying too much? Am I talking out of school here? I think I'm being as delicate as I can. So how about that, ladies? At 1-800-449-8686. How often do you shave? Never mind. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. God, I feel crappy. Spent the weekend, my wife, just sick as a dog, man, spent the weekend nursing her back to health. She had some raging fire stream, some like she swallowed napalm or something in her throat, some kind of a virus that's running around, man, where it feels like your throat's burning up. So we had to go over to the doctor, went to urgent care on Saturday, took her over there, got the antibiotics, everything, and she's finally coming around, and now I feel like crap. Because I'm Florence Nightingale. I'm wandering through the sick ward. Anyway, let's get back to hair and how to remove it, shall we? You want to feel better? Let's talk about electrolysis. Let's talk about Tony going in and having it taken off of his back. You know, I don't know whether this is overstating or overreacting or panicking, but you have a society of women who have been inculcated, if you will. There is an attitude that hair must be removed. And it is so pervasive and it is so long-standing that women spend an enormous amount of money either shaving it off of their legs, getting it out of their armpits, or now, as I see in this news story, getting it off of their faces. To the point where, as men, we have to appreciate that we haven't been, up to this point, hassled to do the same. Because while we demand it, for the most part of women, if anybody were to demand it of us, I mean, in any manner that was obvious and societally approved of and encouraged, we'd be in a world of hurt, Jim. Because now you're talking about having to take all that hair off of your body, and you're going to be like Tony here going in for that electrolysis once a week or whatever the hell you do, Tony. Because all of a sudden, hair is no good, man. Not only women, you want the women to be nice and squeaky, clean, and smooth. But you know something? You clowns ought to start doing it too. You guys out there, start getting that hair off your face, get it off your backs, get it off your butt, get it off your legs, get it off your head. I got a real good friend, man. He shaves and waxes every hair off of his body. I haven't looked too close lately. I don't think this dude's got eyebrows. I think he just figures, yeah, screw it. Why? It's grody. What do you mean it's grody? Eyebrows is just, yeah, it's too much hair. Eyebrows? You're telling me your eyebrows are like, ooh? The dude looks like powder. To the point now where these cats are waxing, I was doing a show once. I'll never forget. We were at Disney World in Orlando. There's a radio station like next to us doing a remote. This cat was doing a radio show for some station. He was waxed. It's the first time I'd ever heard of such a thing. Head to toe waxed, man. Now, some guys like it. I understand that whole thing. I realize it's an aesthetic that some men approve of, some women approve of. But if it ever becomes something that is expected, as the shaving of women's legs is expected, the shaving of a woman's armpits expected, that in point of fact, if she grows hair under her arms, here in America anyway, it's considered to be uncouth. If it ever becomes expected, we are in a freak, we're a hurting gator, man, a freaking world of hurt over here. Because I gotta stop, I mean, I'm a hairy slob anyway. I'm a mick. I got a wop over here and a mick over here. Between Sorrentino and I, we got more hair than a woolly freaking mammoth. So what are you doing, man? Are you getting it off your back and your chest? Just the back? Why? Because some chick told you it's, like, no good? You know, there was a time they didn't care. All of a sudden, they're caring. Why? Because they've been forced to get to break the lady bic out. Oh, man. You stopped. Of course you stopped. You must stop. The guy said, well, the hair on my back, man, gets pretty long. You know, it's like, well, all right, whatever. You don't have to look at it, do you? It's the last time you check your hair, the hair on your back out in the mirror. God damn. That ain't no good. Here's the thing here. They pluck, they bleach, they tweeze, they use hot wax, electric current, and lasers. Some even shave daily, and still the hair comes back. 1 in 6 American women has enough facial hair that they remove it at least once a week. I don't know. Now Gillette, the world's biggest manufacturer of razors, and pharmaceutical maker Bristol Myers Squibb Company have developed the first prescription cream that stops the growth of facial hair in women. The drug could win Food and Drug Administration approval as early as next year. Venica is applied to the face like a moisturizer twice a day. It works by blocking the enzyme that makes hair grow. You're going to find out just exactly how concerned women are about this. Take a look at the first week sales on this. If this goes through the roof, then there's a lot of underlying anxiety going on with women having to do with lip hair, mustaches, all of that other stuff. All the stuff that nobody wants to talk about, mention, or everyone tries to ignore. And you know as well as I do, you've seen them, they're gorgeous, these are many Latin women, beautiful, knockout, great-looking rear ends, great chest, great body, great women, all over, 100% total women. But when you see that little kind of that shadow on the lip, what are you thinking? You're thinking, God. Facial hair in women has several causes, including an excess of male hormones. Genetics can also play a role. That's got to be a load of crap, because I was told the reason why I went bald is because I had too many male hormones. That, in other words, the male hormone is the thing that blocks the growth of hair. If you give yourself a little treatment of female hormones, you'll grow hair. Now they're telling me that facial hair is caused by too many male hormones. This is a very confused society. Take it off, put it on, take it off, put it on. You know, you're waxing it one day, man, growing it back the next. Women of Mediterranean or Hispanic descent tend to have more facial hair. There it is, right there in living black and white off the AP wire, man. The condition known medically as hirsutism can damage a woman's self-esteem. It's very destructive psychologically, said Dr. Ricardo Aziz, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. He also said current treatments are only moderately successful, and Vanica may be preferable because cream causes fewer side effects. No one has to convince Ingrid Reyes, 29, a chemist from New York. She's had sideburns her whole life. I went to a rib shack in Atlanta once, Fat Matt's Rib Shack. They had a lady in there with a goatee. And you know what? I was so hungry for those ribs, it didn't even put me off my dinner. Ordinarily, it would, you know? Ordinarily, it's like you'd go in, turn around, and leave. But you know what? I said, hey, what the hell? Hey, Fatso, give me the... Are they lean today? Sure is. What you want? Well, have some of those nice lean ribs you got over there. It's the pork rib. I just ignored it. I've been on a date, and suddenly he noticed it and says, you have a lot of hair. He doesn't mean any harm, but it makes you feel uncomfortable. She tried waxing, but that dried out her skin. She tried plucking it, but it only grew back. Lately, she's been receiving electrolysis, which gets rid of hair permanently by delivering electrical current through a needle placed into the... Wow. And this is what Sorrentino puts himself through. Because some chick said something, right? Yeah, don't worry about it, man. Ain't nobody ever said anything to me about me. But, you know, but maybe I guess I ain't never had that many dates. I don't know. I never had my shirt off much. God damn. Guy's trying to remove hair. Since the age of 26, when I started losing the hair on the top of my head, and the woman that I was dancing with said, I can help you with your problem. I said, what problem is that? And she took out a pocket mirror and showed this little bald spot on top of my head. I prayed for the day that I would have such a problem as too much hair, man. How about electrolysis right on top of your head? Yeah, that's a good idea. What if we ever get that nutty? God, if I could only remove the hair from my head. And most guys shave, but I'm trying an electrolysis now. Because I like that coupe, that cue ball thing. Oh, it's time to go? Good night.
Bonjour et merci de voler des lins rien de Phil Hendrick. À plus de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis. Ce soir, le vol comportera Poodle. Je devrais mentionner Doobie American. Et maintenant, voici Phil.
Phil, every show. I didn't want to take that call from San Diego. Because the dude is having electrolysis done on his facial hair. And if he's got issues, that's fine. I'm talking about the rest of the world. Any cat that's having the hair taken off of his face by way of electrolysis, it's okay. I know you've got a big future planned. A lot of new wardrobe to buy. I'm having the hair removed from my face by way of electrolysis. I get it, okay? I'm not talking about that, man. I'm talking about... What was I talking about? I'm talking about Sorrentino losing his freaking mind over here. Getting it taken off of his back. That's nuts. Some cat calling up saying, hey, man, I'm have the hair taken on my face by way of electrolysis. Good for you. Great, okay? And as soon as you get the hormone shots, you know, let us see in stages. We'll take pictures, you know, and pass them around. Whatever you need to do. You know, I don't want to talk about it, if you don't mind. So very deeply, thank you. I have a friend of mine that I worked very closely with in this business for a long time. I ran into him at the NAB, which was here in Los Angeles, the convention center, National Association of Broadcasters Convention. He'd had a sex change. I had known him as a he, walking around with a briefcase, and he kind of wore these floodwater flare pants and a big happy-go-lucky guy. Now he's like a big happy-go-lucky matronly woman. And he tapped me on the back, and I remember turning around, he says, hi, Phil, it's Jay. I almost fainted. Have you ever fainted? Have you ever almost blacked out? And I had to kind of catch myself. It was him with hair and everything. Long hair, done in a nice page boy with a beautiful blouse. And I said, wow, how are you? Long time no see. And he said, I'm fine. I said, well, I can see you've had some work done. Yes, I'm very happy. That's great. And I said jokingly, maybe I ought to try that. He said, you're much too much of a man. And he patted me on the chest, and I was very proud of him, very happy for him. But your underlying feelings betray you when your blood pressure just drops spontaneously without any thought process of your own. You know, it's, hi, Phil, I've had a sex change. How you dealing with that? Ah, I'm good. I'm good. All of a sudden, you know, you can't, it's like laughing at a joke that's in bad taste. You know it's in bad taste. You can't help but laughing. You're going to laugh. But so, like that. Phil Henry Show here. Here is Rialto. Hi.
Hello.
How are you, ma'am?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Now, I wanted to ask you, what is the name of that gel that you were talking about? You rub on your face twice a day?
All right, ladies, gather around, because we've got it for you here.
Okay.
I threw it in the waste paper basket along with a very bad cup of coffee, so now it's... everything is... It's called Venica.
How do you spell that?
It's spelled V-A-N-I-Q-A. V-A-N-I-Q-A. It's
okay.
Applied to the face like a moisturizer twice a day, and it works by blocking the enzyme that makes hair grow. It must be used at a regular, or it must be used regularly, or hair growth will resume. So I guess it's something you use the rest of your life.
Oh.
I'm glad I can be of service to you.
Yeah.
In this quest.
Well, thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. There you go. Any other help we can afford? Any cosmetic help we can afford? Any ladies in the audience this evening, be more than happy to. And Tony's standing by with the name of his electrolysis guy, if you need that number. 1-800-449-8686. So Christmas is coming up. One other thing I wanted to mention, there are certain ads that are sort of predictable with the Christmas season. We wanted to bring this to your attention because do you ever wonder, is it last year, this year, the years sort of run into each other? And are we going to see that big J&B ad again, that Ingle L's? It just ain't the same with the J and the B. I think we're going to see that now. For the fifth year running, we'll see that one. 5 years running, baby. We've seen Ingle L's. It ain't the same without the J and the B. There it is. You know, you want to know why? It's been at 15%. Some ad agency came up with that. It's a good one. I ain't never drunk J&B. Is that Jim Beam? Or is that just J&B? Is this a different thing? There's a very nice Christmas ad here for Jim Beam. This is not J&B. This is Jim Beam. The holidays inspire those three little words you're usually reluctant to say. It's on me. Jim Beam Bourbon. And take a look at these cats. There's four guys hoisting these cocktails. Which one of these cats has got the car keys? Four guys. It's kind of a bricked-in, almost like the Cavern Club kind of effect, a bricked-in subterranean club. One guy with a hat looks a little bit like Patrick Swayze had he not really made it. A couple of other guys. This guy looks Puerto Rican here. It looks like you, Tony. And they've all got their glasses of J&B. The holidays inspire those three little words you're usually reluctant to say. It's on me. Jim Beam. Real friends. Real bourbon. Now here's one here. Absolute Scrooge. I love to drink. So this ain't nothing about booze. It's about the different ads and the different campaigns that one sees around the holiday season. And, of course, Santa Claus is going to be plugging everything this year. And by that, I mean that respectfully, he's going to be plugging products this year. What he's doing in his own time is fine with me. But what he's going to be plugging absolutely everything. And you'll be hearing those phrases like, this holiday season, dot, 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 then comes Santa Claus. You know, this holiday season, get into the holiday spirit with a new set of laminated nut fasteners from Clavco Incorporated. Or this holiday season, it's going to be Santa Claus and you. But remember, if he's lactose intolerant, you don't want to serve him milk. And this holiday season, when Santa comes down that chimney and he turns the whole joint into a big ash pit, make sure you got that dirt devil ready for him. So in other words, Santa, man, year in and year out, is there a product this guy hasn't plugged yet? And it begins to sort of seep into the consciousness very slowly. Here it comes. It's Christmas time because I saw the JB. Now there's one here. Let it download, let it download, let it download. This has got, it's got Santa Claus plugging www.emusic.com. And all of that stuff, okay? So that's the season. That's what happens. The elves are going to come around and they're going to be bugged because they can't make a toy and Santa's going to call Montgomery Ward. Or he ain't going to be able to get a toy in stock. He won't be able to make it. He doesn't know how to make it. He's going to use his American Express card and he's going to buy himself that toy. Or as soon as they're loading all of the toys into the sled, you know, for the annual trip, the elves are going to be standing there with a Polaroid, man, to get a snap there of Santa and the rest of the reindeer. And Santa will be flying around, and next time he'll be taking TWA or something. You know, in other words, it's a wonderful thing because it reminds us that it's Christmas, because if we didn't have the commercialization of Christmas, half of us would forget that it was even here. I wouldn't know there was Christmas, would you? I wouldn't know that it was Christmas time unless I saw an ad that said, hey, there's Santa drinking that Coke. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I wouldn't know that it was Christmas, Halloween, or Thanksgiving if it wasn't for the fact that I watch television, and a hell of a lot of it. It reminds me, oh, yeah. Because if you didn't have no TV or radio, right, and you're just sitting on your ass, and you're doing your thing, you're noodling around on the computer, you're downloading the latest crap, and you don't know what's going on, how do you know it's Christmas? How do you know? What if you didn't have a calendar that had the holidays marked on it? What if it just said November, December, January? No holidays marked in that calendar. Would you even know, other than New Year's, what the hell time of year it was in terms of celebration? You wouldn't know. You gotta have that stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Robinson's Bay. Especially in California, man. I don't know winter in California. There's no snow falling here. And even if the snow were falling in California, I still wouldn't get a clue. So there's snow falling. What do you want me to, what are you talking about? Tree? Christmas? Oh, yeah. All right. What do? I don't know. I got to get the lights and everything. So people decry the commercialization of Christmas. The greatest thing that ever freaking happened to it, man, as far as I'm concerned, because I wouldn't know what's going on. How about that? What's the Corona ad? It's the beer ad? It's a Corona ad with 10 Christmas lights on the on a palm. Yeah. There's always an ad there with the elves having some hang-up. They got a problem. And if there's another elf commercial, man, those cats are there. There's an elf, like the squeaky voice guy, you know, they'll speed it up. There's a squeaky voice cat. He needs to buy a car. There's an elf who's pissed off that Santa's working him too hard. Well, and why don't you try this? Why don't you try drinking Jim Beam? Whatever, you know. The elves settle back for a cocktail. The elves have gotten into the act a lot more lately because they're, frankly, they're more interesting than Santa. And there's, you know, they're working them in. And Mrs. Claus has been worked into the, she's not too prevalent. She's not as funny. She's just sort of very stayed there with an apron and some cookies, maybe. Santa Claus and the elves. But the elves especially work their way into the advertising this time of year more and more because they're very interesting. There's a lot of different things. Labor issues, booze issues, food issues. What they're going to get Santa himself for Christmas, that kind of thing. This holiday spirit, no home should be without, whatever the thing is. So it's beginning. And thank goodness that it has. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't. I'm not talking for anybody else. Other than myself, I wouldn't know. I would not know. Were I not married, if I was just a bachelor, and there was nothing on the calendar, nothing, I'd be sitting there in my apartment still going, God, man, it's great. Anybody want any more apple pie, man? At 4th of July, is this great? I got some more fireworks. What, it's September already. It's November. And those polar bears, man, are we going to see those again? Here we go with that polar bear and that Coca-Cola playing beach ball with that seal. Oh, man. Goes sliding down the thing and he has himself a Coke. God, if I had a, what I wouldn't give for a deer rifle. Here they come, the polar bears again. And they're so freaking cute, ain't they? Goes and pops the Coke. The seal. Wait till you see a big man-eating freaking Shamu whale come up. Have himself a polar bear for an appetizer, for an aperitif. It's okay. That's good. That's good. By the way, is Santa still doing them Coke ads? Yeah, he's still doing a Coke ad. He's going to sit on his dead can with a big bottle of Coke. Sitting on his dead. What? He ain't got no time for that. Now, we keep talking about this year in and year out. You ain't got any time to sit on your ass and drink a Coke. You got 848 million houses to hit by the time the sun comes up. Oh, I get it. You're extra dimensional. You can, yeah, okay. Extra dimensional, but he can still sit still and pose for a Coke ad. I love it. Don't get me wrong. Great time of year. The more commercials, the better. Because that's where it am at. Yeah, that's it. Phil Hendry's show here. Phil Hendry's show. I've been logging on to jtull.com. This is a website for Jethro Tull. And being a fan, although not a major fan of their later work, more a fan of their early work, because I lost track of the band And there was a period there where I decided I don't really want to have anything more to do with them when they did that Heavy Horses and Songs from the Wood stuff. It started getting just a little, there were too many, speaking of elves, elves began to infiltrate, I think, the whole, hobgoblins and elves began to infiltrate the whole Jethro Tull motif. The landscape there, the interior landscape of Jethro Tull, they were getting a little too English, folky, freaky. Some big, I don't know, man. They were like, I don't know what, they were going to a palm reader too. I don't know what they were doing. Anyways, it was getting weird. Anyway, I've been logging onto their website, and they've got, being a fan, I want to send them a fan letter. I want to say, hi, my name's Phil Hendry. You don't know me. I work at a radio station in Los Angeles. I really like what you guys are doing. And they also have, like, a daily diary, the band members, and they're on tour in Europe right now. And it's interesting. I don't know. And they've got bios of all of the former band members and discographies and everything that I guess you would expect. But they're just, their lives are right now. Now, Jethro Tull was never one of the rowdier bands, but, you know, there was a time back in the day when they weren't married and they were going town to town and, you know, they were living the life. Now you read this stuff, Shona and I took a trip down the Nile to the pyramids. It's just not, it would have been really interesting if a lot of these bands had these websites back when they were actually doing something like throwing drum kits out of hotel windows, right? Imagine if the Who had a website back when guys were getting trampled trying to make an exit door. Last night, hell of a thing in Cincy. Jesus H. And then Keith fell out of a... He thought he was throwing himself out the window. He threw himself out. Now it's just, you know, well, we'll be in Stuttgart tomorrow night. I understand there's an interesting sushi restaurant there. Whatever. So there was some big mysterious row between them and KLOS about a month ago. Jim Ladd says he'll never have them on again. What happened? You don't know? Well, maybe it's because they just got tired of going to KLOS. Maybe it's just got, you know, maybe it's, there's nothing in music radio for that band anymore. Nobody's going to play their album. Who's playing their album? The fact of the matter remains, they've got their fan base. They're making a lot of money touring. People who love them are going to buy their records, and they'll go on and on and on and on and on. And they've been around now 31 years since the first album came out. Now, the mystery here, according to my producer, is that Ladd said the station drew a line and it had to be done. Sounds like Tull got too big for their britches. Meaning what? They wanted, what did they want? Strained tangerine juice and chopped up watermelon before they walked into the room? Do they want a big buffet spread of some gargantuan proportions, some foods flown in from a South Seas island? What do they want, breadfruit from Jamaica? Or is it just they get tired of sitting down for interviews? Maybe that's it. Maybe they just don't want to sit and answer the same questions about freaking Aqualung 885 million times. They don't want to answer the same bloody questions about whatever the hell they did. Bungle in the Freaking Jungle, worst song they ever did. So speaking of elves, though, that's the whole thing with the Christmas elves, midgets. And that whole thing we got for midgets, man, we better back way off of that, okay? Yeah, Mini-Me's real cute. What's up with that? Bring them on for the comic relief. I understand. I don't laugh when I see a midget. I cringe when I see a midget used theatrically for the purpose of being a midget. In other words, if one just walked in, sidled up to a bar, whatever he had to do, climb up the bar stool, have himself a whiskey, maybe a double, and talks about some guy's ass that he just kicked, then I'd be fine, okay? I can buy that because he's sort of mixing and mingling along with everybody else. But when the midget is used to either A, wear the funny hat with kind of a tam-o-shanter on the top and taking a Polaroid of Santa as he's on his way out to make some rich kid happy with another rocking horse or something, or Mini-Me has got to make the appearance because, whatever, he's a midget. You ever seen the way those people walk? I mean, it breaks your heart, some of them. They look like their heads are too big, and it looks like there's an arthritic condition going on with some of them. It doesn't make me laugh. Cue the midget. Well, what? Okay. Well, whatever. God. Cue the midget on in. Okay, hit again. The poor little midget guy is coming in. Don't they look like they have, like, arthritis? Their shoulders are hunched, and they're walking back and forth because they can't. It's the weight of their head is too big for their torso. And Jesus, whatever they're thinking when they're on the set of a movie. All right, here's what we're going to do, Vern. Okay, we're going to hoist you by way of a crane and send you sailing through a plate glass window. Like a little bowling ball. What do you think? Okay, whatever, you asshole. Go ahead. I mean, I'm getting, what am I getting? A day wage here? Is this scale? What's the story? You think they signed that guy for like the big $20 million paycheck? All right, you're getting a day scale. It's all right. When I get my friggin' check, okay? All right, great. Now, get into the little Ewok costume. Jesus. Just have a midget walk into a bar and have a drink. And make no comment on it, other than the fact that maybe he's the guy who knows where the freaking Maltese Falcon is stored. I don't know. But that whole elf thing, man, we are hot on the elves this year and last year and probably more now than ever before because, let's face it, man, them elves, they are cuddly and they are cute. And you, but I guess it keeps a lot of midgets working. I mean, it keeps the midgets working. Thank God for Christmas. All right, there we go. The big Polaroid shoot here. Now, this is Santa's workshop. We got it. Okay? And you're all running around and you're, yeah, I understand. Now, you climb up on the thing. Yeah, climb up on the stool. And what do I do there? You want me to get into Santa's lap? Yeah, get into his lap. Ah, that's fantastic. What a beautiful ad lib. I like that. I want to work with you again. You're a great actor. You're very creative. Get into his lap and pull on his beard. One of these days, you're going to read about it. Some midget's going to walk into a place and start firing. It ain't going to be no cat, no day trader, no jackball at a Xerox company. Some midget's going to walk onto a movie set and start shooting. You want me to do what? You get on the crane, and we're going to see. What is that? Well, it's a gun. What's that? Is that a prop? The unemployment rate among midgets is probably not very high at all. I mean, most of them are gainfully employed. Well, whatever. What are you asking me that for? What's the unemployment rate among midgets? They're working. They're living. They're doing whatever it is that they got to do, okay? It's just that when you cue the midget, man, it ain't necessarily getting a laugh out of me. Not that I'm politically correct. I could give a crap, man. I'm working from a very visceral place. I see the midget. I ain't laughing, all right? Now, maybe if the midget walked on, as I said, on the set with a Gatling gun or something and started taking out all the other elves, that'd be funny. Let's try it.